finishing well, what does obedience look like? And then Mike spoke last week about commitment. Today, I felt to share with you about endurance. Endurance. Our scripture is Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Wow, there's a lot just in that one verse. You see there at the end that God has a race for each of us to run. He has a journey, a plan, and a purpose. And if we're going to accomplish that, it takes endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So biblical endurance means to stay, to continue, to remain, and to stand. To stay, to continue, to remain, and to stand. To stay even when under pressure or trials. To persevere. It is a hopeful and even cheerful enduring with patience. Wow. So I wrote that statement and then I'm like, how is that even possible? Hopeful and cheerful enduring with patience. How can you and I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked because that's what my message is about. So we're going to look at three things that will help us be able to hopefully and cheerfully endure with patience. We want to be able to not quit, not give up, not leave or walk away. So the beginning, very beginning text of Hebrews 12:1 gives us some of the answers. It says there is a huge crowd of witnesses. A huge crowd of witnesses. People are watching and others are depending on us to continue, to endure, to not quit, and they are cheering you and I on. So just think about who may be watching you, who may be looking to see whether you're going to quit or you're going to give up. Or you're going to walk away. So who's watching us? Well, how about those who have gone before us in glory? Do you know anybody like that? I have a number of people. Many of us knew Pastor Al. One of my best pastor friends just died a few months ago. My father, Stacy's mother and father. So who is up there watching and cheering you on? And they're saying, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. The word witness also means martyr. So there are believers in glory who were persecuted and killed for their faith. And so they're watching us. They're cheering us on. They're saying, don't quit. Don't give up. Jesus is worth it. Truth is worth it. Eternal life is worth it. So we need to remember that there is a crowd of witnesses watching. How about our living relatives who may not be believers? Children, co-workers, neighbors, and friends. They're watching our Christian witness. When that family, when that person goes through trials and difficulties, do they quit? Do they give up? Are they able to draw on their relationship with Jesus? And when they see you do that, then that's living proof for them that being a Christian is true, that it works, that Jesus is alive because you found him to be faithful in the midst of difficulties. If you or I do quit, if we do give up, what are we loudly proclaiming to all these witnesses? So the one reason that we are able to endure is reminding ourselves. People are watching and people are cheering us on. In that verse in Hebrews 12, it said that there are some things slowing us down and tiring us out. So sometimes when we feel like we're not making any progress, or we're making very little progress, or we're just constantly getting tired out, what could be causing that? Well, this verse gives us two things. So we're going to look at both of those. So I want us to start. Oh, I'm sorry. So I'll tell you. Weights and sin. Weights and sin. So I want you to picture this with me. It's summer. So that's a little hard now because we're supposed to be in spring and we've actually been in winter. And then one day we have summer and one day we have winter and we have snow and then we have 75 degrees. Okay. Yeah, it's Pennsylvania. Welcome to Pennsylvania. But let's try to picture summer. And you know how hot and humid it gets. So this is end of July, beginning of August. It is just sweltering outside. And you decide to go for a walk or a run. I used to run at my age and my knees. I do fast walks now. For years I jogged. But so whether you're jogging or whether you're walking, you're getting ready to go out and you put on sweatpants and you put on a sweatshirt and you put on a jacket and you put on a hat and you put on gloves. 92 degrees, high humidity. Now you're going to go out for a run or a walk. How successful is that going to be? And how long are you going to be able to endure until you're passed out on the side of the road? But think about it, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, that's what some of us are doing. Because when we have weights and sin, that's how we're journeying through life. And then we say, I don't know why I'm so tired. I don't know why I feel burdened. Weights and sin. So that definitely will affect your ability to endure. You know, if you were on a track team and that's how you showed up to run a mile, guess what? I don't think you're going to make the mile. Even with people cheering you on. Okay, keep running. Don't give up. And you pass out. Well, you didn't want to, but you had weights and sin. Okay. So what are those things that could weigh us down? What are those things that we could have on us that is slowing our progress? Well, there's a big list. I'm just going to name some for you to think about today. Cares and worries. I understand cares and worries, and through the years, I've dealt with that, and I've carried things I shouldn't have carried that I should have given to Jesus. They weighed me down. Did it help me worrying? It really didn't. The scripture says it doesn't add one day to your life. If it does anything, it takes it away. Or it makes the days you do have less pleasant. So cares and worries. Need to be in control. The drive to succeed at whatever cost. Here's a biggie. Unforgiveness. See, we think we're really getting back to that other person because I will never forgive them for what they said or did. They don't care. You've just added an extra weight, an extra burden to yourself. So you're actually harming yourself when you think you're harming that other person or I'm getting back to them. It's a burden you need to take off. Fear. Okay? I could have a whole page. Fear of failure. Fear of being without, fear of not doing enough, and this is a biggie, fear of not being enough. Hatred, anger, bitterness, and envy. Like I said, that's just a few. But each one of those is like putting on a sweatshirt, putting on sweatpants, putting on gloves, putting on a tassel cap to go through life. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart weighs it down. Come on, is that true or what? But a good word makes the heart glad. And another translation cheers you up. That's why being kind is so important, especially today. Because almost everybody, I just did a couple hour training. I'm a rapid response crisis chaplain. I've never been deployed because during COVID I couldn't go. It just didn't work because you had, well, never mind, all kind of requirements. But I went through some additional training, and they're estimating now that 70 to 90% of people have some very difficult situation they're going through and are loaded down with anxiety and care. So that means almost everybody you meet, you're starting your relationship with them, and you're already burdened down or they're already burdened down. So the word tells us a good word, a positive word, a kind word, cheers up the heart. Come on, that's pretty important. Psalm 25:22 says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. So come on, cast, cast. So does that mean you just say, oh well, I have these burdens and maybe someday I can give them to Jesus? No, cast means you deliberately take off those winter gloves that you're wearing and you throw them down at Jesus' feet. You purposely take off the sweatshirt and give it to Jesus. The things that are weighing you down, you go into his presence and you say, Jesus, I'm not meant to carry this. I can't carry this. I don't want to carry this. I give it to you. And then a couple days after that, if you've picked it up again, you take it back again. You just keep doing it. Cast. Okay, so picture that. You're taking it off and you're throwing it down, letting him know that you don't want it. Matthew 11 says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. So think about that. All who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Is that anybody today? Anybody you know that you can encourage them? Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Doesn't say that you'll find it any place else. He is where we find it. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. For I am humble and gentle. I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but there were a lot of you need to choose to do words in these verses. That means it won't happen automatically. Okay? You have to choose to take off that burden and cast it down. You have to choose to come to him and give him those things that are weighing you down. You have to choose to take his yoke, to yoke with him. You have to choose to let him teach you. All of those are actions that we have to take. Come, cast, take, let, allow, all of those things we have to choose. So if what you're carrying is heavy, if it tires you out, if it makes you weary, if it's weighing you down, if it's slowing your progress, then I have an announcement today. It's not from Jesus. Not from Jesus. So he invites you and I to come and give him that burden and that thing that weighs you down. So I felt like we were to actually take a minute and do that. Make sense? because you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. So you can say, yeah, that sounds good, Pastor Steve, and then go on your day. Well, no, we're going to take a minute and we're going to ask him. Now, some of you already know, as soon as I started, you were able to say, yep, I have some burdens, I have some things weighing me down. Some of the rest of us, we may need to ask, God, is there something weighing me down, something keeping me from moving forward? Maybe it was something on this list: fear, hatred, anger, bitterness, envy, unforgiveness, drive to succeed, need to be in control, cares, worries, anxieties. Or it might be something completely different. Then we're going to choose to take that thing off of us and cast it at the feet of Jesus. Yes? Okay. So here's what I want us to do. Let's stand up. We're taking an action. Let's stand up. And if you feel like you can give it to Jesus right where you are, then you do that. If you want to step out in the aisle, if you want to come forward, that's why we have all this room. Okay? We purposely leave room for you to meet with Jesus. So let's just pray, and then I'm just going to pause and let Jesus talk to each of us individually. So Jesus, we thank you today for your invitation for everyone who is weary, everyone who is burdened, everyone who is weighed down, everyone who has cares and anxieties, to come to you. You invited us to come. So we have decided today to come to you, Jesus, to step closer to you. And Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us today if we have some burdens, some cares, some things weighing us down that you never meant for us to carry? It doesn't mean you don't want us to do anything about it. You just don't want us to carry the worry, the anxiety, and the burden of that situation. So Holy Spirit, speak to us now and let us know what that is. If it's unforgiveness, then we have to choose to forgive. If it's fear, we have to give you that fear. So speak to us, Holy Spirit. So, Father, we're going to obey your word that says to cast off all of the weight, all of the burden, and we're going to choose to physically demonstrate that by stepping out in the aisle or coming forward, and we're going to take off that thing that is on our shoulders, on our head, on our heart, on our chest, wherever that weight is demonstrated on us, and we are going to take it off and we are going to throw it at the feet of Jesus. So take that thing and just throw it at the feet of Jesus. Say, Jesus, here is that worry. Here is that care. Here is that burden. I give you that fear. I give you that anxiety. And I step back from it because I don't want to be tempted to pick it up again. And Lord, you tell us that instead to receive from you, to be yoked together with you. So Jesus, what do you give me in exchange? What do you want me to receive that is light, that is easy to carry, that will refresh me and encourage me? And it may be peace, it may be joy, it may be strength. But let him give you today what he knows you need. So I just receive from you today, Jesus, that which you know that I need today. I receive. receive it from you. I receive it from you. I receive it from you. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. I am humble and gentle. I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Let's just thank him today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us what we need today and allowing us to give you those burdens and things that were weighing us down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Amen, amen, amen. So number three, the final reason that we're going to look at today that it is difficult to us for us to make forward progress, to press on, is sin. It's our bad choices. Sin means missing the mark. Well, what's the mark? The mark is Jesus. So if this is Jesus' character and what Jesus is like, which is best seen by the fruit of the Spirit, okay? So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. So if that's our goal and we miss that mark, that's what sin is. When we don't act very Christ-like, when we are not acting the way a Christian should act. Christian means small Christ. We're not representing Jesus well to the world. Maybe it's we were unloving, maybe we were unkind, maybe we were unforgiving. Those things will affect us moving forward. It'll cause us to temporarily lose our momentum and, listen, our ability to endure. So do you remember the Sons of Thunder? How about that name? James and John, two of his disciples. They were called Sons of Thunder because when they arrived, it was like a storm. So in Luke 9, I'm just going to tell you the story instead of reading the whole chapter. Jesus gave his disciples power and authority to cast out demons and to heal. And he sent them out. And it said they went from town to town doing just that. And then they came back. It says that they preached the gospel and healed everywhere. So this was a high point, okay? This was a victory moment. This is like, yes, we're doing it. We're moving forward and advancing the kingdom of God. Then they returned, and it says they gave their report to Jesus. Well, that would have been pretty exciting, right? We went to this town, and that person was healed. And we went to this town, and that person was delivered. And we preached the gospel, and so many people accepted Christ. So they gave this report. Another high point. Then right after that, they helped Jesus feed the 5,000. Now that was 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. They helped. Okay? You know the whole story, so I'm not going to go back through the story. But Jesus broke the bread, gave it to them, they distributed it, and you're taking this basket around, and it keeps filling back up. Come on! Wouldn't that be something? So there you are being involved in the miraculous. High point. Okay, so we had a high point, healing, deliverance, and the word. High point, we gave an extra wonderful report and of ministry and testimony. We helped feed probably 12,000 people with 12 basketfuls left over. God is more than enough. Okay, so you would think, all right, so they are on a roll, they got this, they're moving forward, they're becoming more like Jesus. Okay, well, let's see. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of Samaria to make arrangements for him. And they did not receive him. So in other words, he sent people ahead and said, hey, find a hotel, find a place to eat. You know, we're going to be coming. And they went, and the Samaritans did not want Jesus to come there. When his disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder, saw that this was happening, that they were treating Jesus this way, they said, Lord! Now, come on, they just had all these high points. Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Does that sound like what Jesus has been teaching and preaching and doing? And they've been traveling with him. Come on! They've been watching him heal the lame man, the blind, the leper, the woman caught in adultery. They've seen these various miracles and what Jesus was all about, and they want to burn up a whole town. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. Ooh. Ooh. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy, but to save. And they went on to another village. Yeah. So that means if it could happen to them that they sometimes don't represent Jesus well, guess what? There are days that we're not going to represent Jesus well. Romans 14, 12 and 13. So then, let each one give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. So we want to get those things out of our lives, those thoughts, those actions, those words that are not Christ-like. So what do? Do we beat ourselves down? Do we allow the devil to condemn us? No, we just at some point, I'm sure James and John had to have a little discussion with Jesus. It's not recorded, but I'm imagining they said, Jesus, forgive me, I did not know what spirit I was of. So the word tells us, if we sin, if we miss the mark, if we don't act Christ-like, if we said something we shouldn't say, we did something we shouldn't do, what's it say? Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can take care of that one easily. If we have sin in our lives, areas where we're not being like Jesus, let's get that taken care of so that doesn't weigh us down and keep us from being able to endure. All right, so we looked at three things. To endure and to continue to run the race that Jesus set for each of us. Okay, each of our races look a little different. Each of our journeys look a little different. But Jesus has set a goal. And we don't want to pass out halfway there, two-thirds of the way there. We want to what? Endure. Persevere. Not quit. Not give up. So to do that, we looked at three things. We need to remind ourselves that we are being watched and cheered on. Come on, there's people saying, don't give up, Mike. Don't give up, Mike. Okay, how many Mikes do we have here this morning? A couple. Okay, continue on. Don't give up. And there's people just watching us. Okay, is this Christian thing working? Is it making a difference in their lives? Number two, Jesus wants us to give him the things that are weighing us down. So that means if you have to do it every day, or maybe every week, or every month, you can do it here, you can do it at home in your own devotions, okay? However often you feel this weight, this burden, this thing that's slowing you down, you can do exactly what we did this morning. You can just say, Jesus, I'm going to cast off this thing. I'm not going to carry this 20-pound bag of flour on my back anymore. I'm going to take it off and cast it down. 50-pound bag of rice, maybe? Yep. So whatever that weight is, you give it to Jesus. And then the third one is, whenever we're not being Christ-like, instead of condemning ourselves or allowing the enemy to condemn us, we confess. That means agree with him that I wasn't the way I should have been. I didn't act the way I should. I didn't speak the way I should. I didn't treat somebody the way I should. So I'm agreeing with you. That was not right. I missed the mark. That was not Jesus. And get it out of your life. And believe that he'll forgive you. He says he will. So then you don't keep condemning yourself, right? And he washes us from all unrighteousness. So that thing is completely cleansed out of our lives, and it's not wearing us down so that we can go forward. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't give up. Get rid of those burdens. Cast off your worries. Change your wrong thoughts. Be loving. Become more like Jesus. All right. So I felt like I should close by just reading a little more of Hebrews 12 to you, because there is some great advice that goes along with this. So if you want to follow along, Hebrews 12, we're actually going to read 15 verses. I know that's a lot, but it's not a whole chapter. It's not a whole book. 15 verses. Hebrews 12. And let's believe that he is going to speak truth to us today. And he said that his word will accomplish all that he sends it forth to accomplish. Amen. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Come on. Remember what Jesus did. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which was addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers and mothers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment does not seem joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Okay, now let's listen to this at the end. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak, come on, and the knees that are feeble, and make straight path for your feet. That means get rid of the burdens and the sins, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint. In other words, you're not going to fall because your knee just gave out. You're not going to go down because your limbs grew tired. So strengthen your hands and your knees. Make straight path so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint. But listen, but rather be healed so that you can continue on. Pursue peace with all men. Come on, we talked about that. And sanctification, which means getting sin out of your life, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many are defiled. Let's get rid of those things that weigh us down and is making it difficult for us to endure. Amen, church? All right, let's stand. Pastor Van, I'm surprised to see you back, but since you're back, I'm going to have you close us in prayer.